This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time to talk that talk, and we talk it like no one else.
This is The Stinking Truth.
Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
Hey, welcome in, Stinking Truth Podcast. Mark Schlereth alongside my partner, Mike Evans. Make sure you subscribe and follow us and hit us up with anything you want to talk about. I'll try to get back to you guys on that. Mike, how are you, buddy? How was your weekend?
I'm great. Great weekend. A lot happened. Did you see the footage of Cam Newton?
Yeah. Yes.
So he was at a 7-on-7 camp.
Yes.
And apparently some people from this TSP, Top Shelf Performance 7-on-7, an 18-year-old 7-on-7 team,
yeah,
got into it with Cam, and there's Cam like fighting off and wrestling off like 4 or 5 guys.
I know it. Just absolutely. I mean, you talk about tossing dudes around. Now, the first time I ever met like Cam, I'm walking through the Carolina Panthers locker room, right? We're going to go to a meeting or whatever. And Cam is in there. And it was when he was rehabbing. He's had some, he was on IR, but he's rehabbing. And this dude is legit 6'5", 250, and ripped. And he's just in a pair of shorts, like just looking like chiseled from granite. You're like, whoa, shoot, that's a little different than when I played. You know, that like, quarterbacks aren't made that way anymore. Right. He is a full-grown-ass man now, and obviously they were giving him some grief, whatever, and I don't know exactly how it went down. Maybe in my mind, I was like, Cam probably just said, come get a taste, and they decided to, and he's beating off. He's just, well, that sounded bad. He's beating down. Let me just say that. He's beating down 4 guys, not beating off 4 guys. He's beating down. He's
keep it going. Keep rolling. Yeah, I want this to go viral. Keep this going.
He's beating down 4 guys. Yeah, that came out. That came out incorrect. But you know what I was trying
to say. And he kept his hat on the whole time.
I know.
It's like witch's hat. Kept it on the whole time.
He does have some interesting hats.
Yes.
Yeah, he does. That did look like a, you know what it looks like? The sorting cap from Harry Potter. Are you in Slytherin? Are you in Hufflepuff? Are you in, like, right? Didn't it look like?
But it's a reminder that, hey, for you mortals out there, all of us, okay, think long and hard before you decide if you want to go after a professional athlete.
Right.
Because no matter what you may say,
they will beat you off.
Dude, you can't be doing this. We're like 2 minutes into like a 20-minute podcast. How am I going to get this thing back on track?
You know what? We just got to move on to a different topic.
All right, move on to a different topic.
He's a full-grown-ass man, though. Now,
boy, if he'd only show that much effort when he was going for that fumble in the Super Bowl, huh?
Oh,
too soon?
Right?
Too soon, Panther fan?
Yeah.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Boy, it looks rough.
Yeah, he's holding
there.
The lantern. Woof. Be careful down there. Guy could get injured.
The big story over the weekend in the NFL, the salary cap. going up an unprecedented $30 million,
right?
Going up, which is, I guess it was a surprise to some, but if you've been paying attention to it, it's not that bit of a surprise. We've been talking about this for a couple of years now. The projections on the cap was predicted a couple of years ago that there was going to be a huge jump. So therefore, if you're one of those teams, you would prefer a team that's got a lot of cap issues, you just saw $30 million of it go away just like that.
Just, instantly. Like, the dirty little secret in the NFL that they don't want you to know is that the cap isn't real. It's not a hard cap. It's a very easily manipulated cap. And so what you have to understand is when you have a player that you no longer want to negotiate with, or you no longer feel has the value that that player once had, you claim as an organization, you know, cap poverty. Oh my gosh, we just love to have the guy, but we just can't fit him under our cap. If you want a dude, you'll find a way to fit him under your cap. You'll find a way to manipulate the cap. It's completely fungible. You can put it wherever you want to put it. And therefore, if a guy has great value to you, you renegotiate his deal. He's got 3 years on it. You renegotiate it. You figure it out. If you don't want the dude anymore, Xavien Howard, Pro Bowl cornerback from the Miami Dolphins, 3 years left on his deal. They just cut him. You know why? They don't want him for whatever the reason. I don't know what the reason is, but they don't want him anymore. Now, if he was valuable to them or if they really wanted him, they'd find a way to renegotiate that deal, to lower down the cap number, to make sure that he fits within the structure of the Miami Dolphins organization. But they don't want him anymore. So, you know, they'll claim cap poverty and we can't afford and this, that, and the other. And there's some other guys that are, you know, that we have to negotiate with. And, you know, and that's just the way it works. But it goes up $30 million. And for all those people, the fear mongers out there, you and I talk about it all the time, that, oh, the cap, and oh, we're going to be in cap, you know, purgatory, and oh, it's going to be so hard. Four of the top five people over the cap, or the biggest cap, the dead money on their cap, four of the top five teams with dead money on their cap all went to the playoffs. So don't give me this, oh, the cap is going to keep us from competing. If you want to compete, you can find a way to manipulate your cap to make sure you get everything you need to be a competitive football team.
Well, you think about, like, here in Denver, right? There was a lot of fear-mongering about the idea that if you cut Russell Wilson with $89 million of dead cap, it's going to completely paralyze their ability to put a roster together.
Right.
A lot of fear-mongering. And I was trying to tell people, one, yes, it's not necessarily a disaster if you have dead cap money, four out of the five that you're talking about. But I knew this big increase was coming.
Right.
It shouldn't be a shock. This did not come out of left field. This was talked about for the last couple of years. So if you start putting all that kind of stuff together, then there's no reason why even a Denver Broncos team, for example, that's facing a lot of cap issues should be hamstrung to the point where they feel like they can't put a team together.
Yeah, I think dead cap right now for Russell, if you eat it all this year, is $85 million, something like that. And then you can spread it out over 2 years, and it's, you know, 39 this year and whatever it is next year. I think you lose some of that cap value. Would you spread it out over 2 years, or would you try to eat the whole thing?
Well, suddenly now with that extra 30 thrown in there
what does it go up next year?
And does it go up more next year? Yeah. It's a great point. So maybe you just say, hey, let's eat it all in 1 year.
Yeah, I think
they'll still spread out over
time. I do too. I think there is some benefit to that. But I wouldn't have any issue with them spreading out over 2 years. Listen, it's not going to affect their ability to field the team. Now, I don't know what direction they're going to go. I don't know if they're probably not in the Kirk Cousins sweepstake, right? But the next tier of free agent quarterbacks, like, you can manage, like, for the Broncos or anybody else, you can manage your salary cap from the standpoint of what does our quarterback room cost us, right? You can figure that out. And even with Russ and that dead money, and you have, you know, if you go out and get yourself a Minshew or the guy that I've been – you know, that I've been talking about is Sam Darnold. And you know, you're paying that guy $5 million, $6 million. You're paying your backup. I think Jared Stidham's making $5 million. Even with Russ, you can still keep it into that, into that realm in your quarterback room. You get a rookie. You also draft a rookie where you're saying, hey, it's still, you know, 20-22% of our cap or whatever. We're all right.
Well, it's like what worked for Tampa so well this past year. Yeah, they had the cap hit from Brady, I think, at $35 million. But they went out and got Baker Mayfield 1 year, $4 million. So your quarterback room now isn't as expensive as you're talking about. And you ended up getting a lot from Baker, and you ended up going to the playoffs. So it can be done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
By the way, Russ telling Brandon Marshall, the former receiver, on his I Am Athlete podcast, that he still believes that not only can be he could be a starting quarterback in this league, but still win, and his goal is to win two more Super Bowls.
Okay.
Anything snarky you'd like to say?
No, I mean...
He said he wanted to zoom in as you roll your eyes.
He said he wanted to win two more in the next 5 years. Okay. Like I hope these last 2 years have been humbling enough for you to understand that what Pete Carroll was asking you to do and the way he built his football team gave you the opportunity to compete. You've got one, right? To compete for Super Bowls. So yeah, I hope that is one of those. I hope there's a lesson in humility here. I know it's been tough times and all that kind of stuff, and he talked about those tough times. Good for him and how you react to those and how your kids see you react to those. All those things are great. But let's face it. You know, you've got to have a great defense around you, a great run game around you, some receivers who can make big-time plays for you on the outside. Like, those are the things that you were able to win with. So control the tempo of the game, control the clock, run the football, your off-schedule stuff, make big plays in the off-schedule passing game, and have a stellar kind of all-world defense. Yeah, you got a chance.
So is Russ still, based on what you saw this past year, for all those teams out there that are in no man's land right now with their quarterback position, they're not really in a position to draft a prospect?
Right,
and they're probably looking at some kind of, stopgap, bring in a veteran. Has Russ played at a level last year that makes you think that if in the right situation, I'll throw out some of the teams that have been mentioned with him, New England, if they don't draft a quarterback, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, teams like that, Washington, if they were not to choose a quarterback, could you win with Russ?
I think I look at a team like Atlanta or like Pittsburgh. You know, a team like Pittsburgh who won 10 games last year with three different quarterbacks playing. So you've got to have that stellar defense, an ability to rush the passer, ability to create some turnovers, do all the things that Pittsburgh did, right? You got to be able to run the ball. And then, like, a guy like Arthur Smith, who really understands running the ball and really understands some of those one, you know, like really understands the RPO game, some of the things that he did with Tannehill back in the day in Tennessee before he got to Atlanta. I think the other thing that intrigues me about a situation like that, when you're the head coach, you're worried about the entirety of the team, right? And you're worried about, okay, this style of offense gives us a chance to, you know, I guess to compete, run on the football and being really knee-deep in that. But if I want to get to the next level with my organization, I have got to develop a drop-back passing game. So as the head coach, that was Arthur Smith's, what he was tasked with in Atlanta. It didn't work out, okay? You drafted Des Ritter in the third round. It just didn't work out for you. You went after Mariota. Mariota, it didn't work out for you. I get all that, right? But you're trying – you've got the overarching kind of complexity of the whole football team, the global perspective. When you're an offensive coordinator, you know what you're worried about? Your offense. So now all of a sudden, this is the best situation to get my offense and give my team a chance to win based on what my offensive players do the best. I'm not in the quarterback. With Russ, I'm not in the quarterback development. Like, I'm not in the quarterback development game that I was with trying to develop Des Ritter. I'm just basically saying, here's what you can do. Let's go out and do this and see how many games we can win. Like, that would be, to me, a good place, a good starting point.
Where does Kirk Cousins end up?
I have a really tough time seeing him leave Minnesota. Like, I think O'Connell, there's an eye-opening experience there for Kevin O'Connell, because Kevin O'Connell wants a lot of things operated at the line of scrimmage. And he wants to have a quarterback that is on the same page with him. And that took time for Kirk and Kevin early in that first year they were together. There was some growing pains going on in that first year. And then before Kirk, you know, tore his Achilles, man, he was playing. Like, I see that as the best place for Kirk Cousins is to stay in Minnesota. He loves it there. His teammates love him. And I think from an organizational standpoint, it makes the most sense. Now, can they get that done? Do they want to long-term invest in Kirk Cousins? I don't see why not. But they've had success.
Well, yeah, but let me play the devil's advocate here. I'm sure there are Viking fans watching this that would say, wait a minute, why do we want to invest guaranteed money to a 35-year-old quarterback coming off Achilles injury when we're picking number 11 and we're probably going to be in a position where we could get that second tier of quarterbacks, whether it be a Bo Nix or a J.J. McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
Better to go that way.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of people that think that. I'm sure there's plenty of people that look at that.
Can you win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is a damn good quarterback. You know, I mean, all the can't win, you know, primetime games and all that, like, all that stuff is garbage. Kirk Cousins is a damn good player. And he really understands offensive football. I think the thing that you look into, and I've been saying this on our radio show for quite some time, when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks in the NFL draft process, coming out of college, the college game, the college teams do nothing to develop quarterbacks for the NFL game. And it's not their responsibility to do it. I mean, they play their own style of football in college. Well, it doesn't necessarily mesh well with what NFL teams are doing. And so to sit there and say, hey, man, we could just go get Bo Nix at 11, or we could just go get, you know, J.J. McCarthy at 11, or we could just go get
Michael Penix
or whatever. Like, what the draft tells you when it comes to the quarterback position is about an 80% failure rate with those guys. So you know you've got a proven commodity. And I'll go back to what Joe Gibbs used to say all the time. I would rather have known commodities than unknown commodities. So first-round draft choices at the quarterback position with guys who are elevated that have third-round talent that get drafted in the first round or second-round talent, like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I would rather have a guy that I know can operate my system than have a guy that I hope can operate my system, but he's younger.
Okay, so is Justin Fields a known enough commodity to the Bears that they should keep developing him or go with the promise and potential of Caleb Williams? This could be the week. This figures to be the week where we might get some kind of clarity on what's going to happen with Justin Fields.
I'm going to try to stay consistent with what I've said on the broadcasts I've done in Chicago. And I did have, I think, 3 Bears games this year. The form of offense that they play with Justin is not a sustainable form of offense and does not win championships in the NFL. Until it wins a championship in the NFL, I'm going to go with what history tells me.
All right, define that offense.
The let's run our quarterback on design runs. Let's threaten the edge of a defense with option plays, both the quarterback run option, the RPO game, all that stuff. Let's put our quarterback in harm's way and hope that our quarterback stays healthy in those situations. I called a game against Detroit. I think it was against Detroit, where he ran the edge, and I thought he legitimately got decapitated in a game. I thought his head popped off. And I'm sorry, but you can sit there and tell me all day long that, hey, there's every bit the likelihood to, you know, get hurt running that style of offense than there is the drop back, you know, from the pocket style of offense. And that's great. You know what? You're probably going to tear less ACLs sitting in the pocket than you are. Like, most ACLs are you know, quick, inline, non-weight bear. Like, they're not contact injuries. They're you planting your foot on the ground and doing, like, there's more bodies. There's more potential for people to fall on you funny. And, you know, and he got hurt and was out for like 6 weeks this year with a dislocated thumb. He told me he got up from the injury. He's like, "Oh, that hurt." And he looked at his, it was his thumb. Yeah, it was his thumb. And he said it's about half the, like, the thumb, like, right here in that first knuckle, that's where his thumbnail was, essentially. Like, it shoved back into his, into the socket. Like, I'm sorry, but you scramble around like that, I just think there's more potential for you to be hurt in the long run. The other thing is, quarterbacks that can operate from the pocket and eviscerate you from the pocket, and he has gotten a lot better. But let me ask you this. Would you rather sit there and say, okay, we've invested X number of years in him, and yeah, he's had some injury issues, you know, or not significant injury, but he's had some injuries, and he's gotten better to a point here, but, like, is he going to take us to the next level?
Well, if you're,
if we take that part of his game,
look
away
at the benchmarks, right? So you typically want your quarterback now to be completing 65, 66% of his passes, right? Right now, Fields through three seasons is at 60. Barely.
Right.
That's the, I mean, that's the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be at 60. Otherwise, you're just, you shouldn't be in the league. He hasn't thrown for more than 2,500 yards in a season. And his touchdown to interception passing ratio is like 40 touchdowns to 30 picks. You tell me, is he going to be able to not only improve, but improve to the point where he's able to go out there and complete 66% of his passes, throw for 4,000 yards in a season, and be a 27-11 touchdown interception guy? Because that's still the model that's proven to win in this league.
And if you take away that run aspect, and we've seen teams do this. I think it's one of the things with that happened with Jalen Hurts. You take away some of that RPO and some of that read zone, that option aspect of your offense because of injury. You take that away, and how do his numbers and how does his production basically fare when you take that stuff away? Like, I think that's there's a big question there. So, This goes back to what I believe. I believe they're going to move on. The other thing with Justin is you got to pay him. You know, you're going to have to pay him one of those Daniel Jones type of contracts, right? So I just think they're going to continue to kick the can down the road. They're going to go after that quote unquote generational quarterback, whether that's, you know,
probably Caleb Williams.
But some people are saying Drake May is a better prospect, but they went down the North Carolina quarterback road before, and that didn't work out for them. So,
Soon? Too soon?
Was that too soon?
Too soon? Is that too soon?
Yeah. Bears no, fans? I think they're fine. I think they're moving on. I think they're moving on from Justin Fields. That's my just gut take.
News that came down while we were talking, T. Higgins did get the franchise tag placed upon him. So if he ends up signing that, it'll be 1 year at about $22 million for T. Higgins. Does this move make sense from a Bengals standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately when you look at that offense, I mean, that offense is sitting in gun, throwing the football. That's what they do. Yeah, sure, they've got Mixon and, you know, and they've got a run game out of their gun look. But yeah, that's what they do, and they rely on Joe Burrow to get them into the best situations possible based on their passing game. That they're a pass first, second, third offense. Yeah, T. Higgins is he's a beast. So yeah, it makes perfect sense for them. Eventually, like they're gonna have to pay. It's the Bengals. I mean, they're gonna have to pay that offense. They're gonna have to pay, you know. Jamar Chase is gonna they're gonna have to pay all the because you can't like to me you couldn't make can you make T. Higgins the highest paid receiver on your team and not take care of Jamar Chase? It's hard to eat $22 million on a season for a wide receiver. So I feel like you're gonna have to try to get him, you know, while he's under the franchise tag, get him to accept a better deal.
But
for
you're
you.
Not paying Chase yet. So you're still working with a pretty good contract for Jamar Chase.
Is he still on his rookie?
Yeah,
he's still on his rookie
and
deal
for this upcoming year as well. So it's not a bad deal for the Bengals. So you can maybe go year to year with Higgins. That until it's time to pay Chase, you can pay Higgins the big money per year. I guess my only question is this: if getting a quarterback is so important. And then finding that quarterback and paying him a huge amount of money, aren't you kind of paying that quarterback to make receivers better than they really are? Once you've identified and paid that quarterback, do you or should you be investing a ton in your wide receivers? Isn't that what you're paying the quarterback for? Like, look, we just saw Mahomes win another Super Bowl with a wide receiving core that – a lot of people made fun of. Yeah, made fun of them right up until they won a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you do want your quarterback to be able to take, you know, throw guys open and you know, create that. But there are guys who are special. Like Justin Jefferson is special. Jamar Chase is special. There are guys that are special players. And certainly I think you want to pay those guys. You want to find a way. But you got to do it again. You got to do it again in a fashion that makes sense for your franchise and allows you to compete. And again, like I've said many times before, there's plenty of money to go around. It's just how long a commitment do you want to make to a guy? Because you can make the numbers work. And I believe everybody can get paid. I really do. I believe you can make that work. But then it comes down to, okay, how long do we want to pay T. Higgins for? How long do we want to pay Jamar Chase for? Like, there comes that delineating line where all of a sudden, if we do it for this long and we commit this much upfront money, that's great. But 2 or 3 years from now, does that contract age well? Or are we kind of stuck letting a guy go and having to eat a bunch of dead cap money? That's the game you're constantly playing.
I guess it makes sense if you can carry and work with Higgins with the benefit of the franchise tag and take a year-to-year approach with him until it's time to pay Chase the big contract.
Mm-hmm. Or
then it's not a bad way to allocate your...
Yeah, I would imagine if you could get you know, T. Higgins into a long-term deal and then you go back to Chase and say, okay, here's the parameters of his deal. We're going to pay you more than that. But, I mean, you know, then you get into the players. It's really the agents want to set the market with their players because you want to have that, you know, that chip that, hey, man, I got the best contract in NFL history for my guy, because that helps you as a recruiting tool for the next generation of receivers or the next generation of players. When you can sit there and say, okay, here's all the pelts on my wall. I got this guy the highest contract at his position at this time. I got this guy, I got this guy, I got this guy. That's what they want to do.
Well, it's another busy week in the NFL. We're going to be here to talk about all of it. In fact, the next time we talk, we get to talk about your favorite subject, the NFL Combine. You love yourself some Combine.
Love the Combine.
What do you call it?
Underwear Olympics.
The Underwear Olympics.
Yes, the Underwear Olympics.
Right.
All right. Well, that's quite the tease. That and beating guys off. I mean, it's what it's all about, Mike. It's what it's all
couldn't
about.
Couldn't leave that alone.
I'd like to apologize for everybody on behalf of this.
No.
All right. For everybody involved in the Stink Truth Podcast, Mike, Mark, we'll talk to you guys later on in the week.